Stand by for audio. Got it.
And now,
the Alex Baker Show
brings you one of the most exciting events it's ever been our privilege to bring.
Here we go again.
And this is just the beginning.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Oh, hello.
What?
What's up? What's cracking? Kerrang Radio, Alex Baker Show. Bit of Bring Me an Horizon there, setting off proceedings tonight. Listen to the heavy breathing.
The Alex Baker Show. Kerrang Radio.
Welcome to it. It's Kerrang Radio. My name's Alex Baker. This is the Alex Baker Show. Really struggling with the level in the studio right now. It's got to turn that off. Oh my God. We're in a really weird studio. I'm just trying. Hold on. No, program. Hold on. There we go. Yeah. There we go. You smashed it. Yeah, sorry. We're in a really weird studio. We're in like a cupboard here at Kerrang Towers because my main studio is broken. So we decided to carry on doing the show. We weren't going to do it. And then we thought we've been off for a couple of weeks. Let's just jump into the cupboard studio. It's literally called the cupboard studio. So we're in it. How big is this, do you reckon? One meter?
No, it's more than 1 meter.
What do you reckon? What?
This is like 4x4, isn't it, pretty much?
Four meters. 4 meters?
Yeah, high.
How
no, no, it's not.
Massive do you think a meter is? That's really or small big. Do you think a meter
it's
is?
It's like maybe 2.5, isn't it?
Yeah, not even.
Like 2.5 wide by like 3 deep.
It's like a broom cupboard where you keep your brooms.
I haven't even got headphones in here. Yeah. So am I talking? Am I doing really loudly?
You are talking really loudly.
Okay, how's that?
Yeah, it sounds good.
That better.
That's much better. Oh, it sounds silky. Silky smooth. Do you want to know something funny? I was listening to, well, it's not hilarious, not like ha 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 laugh out loud funny, but just like entertaining to me and the few people that like listened to this show since like 2009. I was listening to old school Alex Baker Show from way back in 2009. You know our first show, do you reckon, 2009?
Oh yeah, September 2009.
Was it September?
Sure was.
I think I've got some earlier than that.
That might be from when you did it on your own.
Oh, yeah, because it used to be just me, didn't it?
Yeah,
back in the day.
The team began in September 2009.
Well, you sounded way more Brummy back then.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah. I've got to find some clips. I'll find some clips and play it out next week. But literally, you're like, we were talking about a fish or something, and you went, oh, I don't know about fish. And you sounded so Brummy. I was like, wow.
Are you sure that wasn't Tommy?
And Tommy sounded almost a bit posh. It was really weird. It's not at all how I remember it. I remember it being like, like this, but it wasn't at all. It was.
Well, I was all fresh faced and new, and not, I didn't know anything about radio back then.
And we played. Well, we still don't. Oh. We played loads of music as well.
Yeah,
there was like 3 songs in a row at one point. I was like, "What's with all these songs? What is this? A music radio station?" Anyway, so the reason I was reminiscing is because there's some interesting news. Some interesting news, guys. I'm going to turn the bed off for this one. Interesting news. I have told you about. I'm not going to spring it on you. Yeah. But we've decided to actually. How should we say this? How should we say it?
Is it evolution?
Know. Evolution.
Yeah, we're evolving.
Everything evolves, yeah. Right? Stand still, die. That's basically the moral of the story.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
You know, if you went outside now and just made the decision to stand still, eventually you'd die because people would be trying to give you food and you'd be like, no, I can't eat because I've got to stand still. And then you'd just die.
This is a weird way of explaining this.
Yeah, no, that is a weird way of explaining it. How do we explain it?
Everything evolves. Everything moves
You've
on.
You've got to keep moving.
A
vital part of being alive is movement, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it? Yeah, maybe. Heat transfer. So anyway, so the bottom line is when push comes to shove, the apple never falls far from the tree.
Yeah, it's a game of two halves.
Oh, you know? Please don't start this. Just tell the people what they need to know.
As of the end of January, the Alex Baker Show, we've been toying with this idea for a while, but it's actually going to happen. The Alex Baker Show is going to be the Alex Baker Show podcast.
Yes.
Boom.
Only.
Yes.
It's no longer going to be on the Kerrang Radio airwaves. We're going to do it as a podcast only so we can dedicate our time to the podcast audience because we've known this, and it's funny how the worm turns, do you know what I mean? Because when we first started doing the podcast, I used to call the podcast listeners podcast scum.
Yeah.
If we did an event or whatever, if we were out and someone would come up to me and go, oh, I really like the show, Alex, I'd be like, are you listening on Kerrang? Are you podcast scum? And they'd be like, oh, podcast scum. And I'd be like, oh, don't even talk to me.
And the thing, without meaning to get too sort of geeky in radio, but forgive me for a second.
Radio!
For doing exactly that. We, as you know, in the early days of the show, coming from, you know, yourself coming from a radio background, and we were still trying to work out the show, it was always instilled into you, wasn't it? And to me as well. that you talk about things like the Alex Baker Show, Sunday nights, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's where you need to be because you want people tuning in at a specific time.
Me, you, Tommy, Kevin, Hayley sitting around talking about various different things.
Yeah, and ultimately, that's how sort of radio listeners are worked out, is based on what times they listen to the radio. Like,
yeah.
They fill out radio diaries and the times that they listen. And that's what we always used to do. But what would happen is when we met you guys out at events and stuff like that, or spoke to you on Twitter or emails or whatever, so often would it be the case that people were like, oh, I listen on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I can listen when I want.
Whenever I want. Yeah. I download it. So, and some people like tell me they listen to episodes again and again and again, which when we first started doing this show, I never, ever, ever anticipated that anybody would like listen to the show and then listen to the same show again. I never thought that would be a thing.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. That is absolutely ridiculous because we are so ridiculous. Why would anybody want to listen to us more than once?
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Because in radio, that's how it works. Like, that's what's that's a beautiful thing about radio, is you put it out there and then it's gone. And it's like, it's in that moment and there's something really exciting about it. But actually, for a show like this, having it and being able to listen to it again, if there's a bit that you liked, you know what I mean? Like, people buy, I'm not saying this is akin to a comedy DVD, but people buy comedy DVDs and watch them again and again, don't they?
Yeah.
So if you think of the Alex Baker Show podcast as like the worst possible comedy DVD. Yeah.
Mrs. Brown's Boys Live.
No, not as bad as that. Yeah. Don't paint us with that brush. But you know what I mean? Like, even that will get watched more than once, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Although once someone bought me a Roy Chubby Brown DVD and it never left the cellophane.
No.
It stayed sealed and never, ever, ever watched it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's where we're at. What do you reckon?
Yeah. I think it's exciting.
New frontier.
I think the people listening right now are probably only going to hear this in like 6 months' time anyway, because they're podcast listeners and we're still quite behind on the podcast.
And they'll be like, what's sort of fuss about?
Yeah, yeah. But what? To stop in the podcast? What's going on?
No, we're not stopping the podcast.
Not what's happening.
But if you are a Kerrang! Alex Baker, if you're listening to the Alex Baker Show on Kerrang!, then very simply just go and download the podcast.
Download the podcast!
Yeah. And subscribe.
Subscribe to the podcast! Yeah, and then you can listen to it. And if you still want to listen on a Sunday night at 9 o'clock, you
feel
can do
free.
That. Yeah, and we're still going to be on Kerrang! As well.
Obs, late.
So we've got the Kerrang! Gaming Show, which is our new
thing. Renee's not. But.
No, Renee's not. Yeah, yeah. No, Soz.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Sorry, Renee.
You catch me on other radio stations.
Oh, that's the one thing you're not allowed to do, is listen to other radio stations.
No, you can't do that. Don't do
the
that.
Podcast, listen to Kerrang! Yeah. Nothing else.
But you know, you do Weekend Breakfast.
Yeah.
I do Fresh Blood. I mean, Fresh Blood's really my absolute baby.
This is Kerrang! Fresh Blood.
The first place to hear Alex Baker's freshest bands.
Support new music and get involved using hashtag Kerrang! Fresh Blood.
But anyway, so we're rambling along, but I just thought I wanted to explain that to you, but also like remind you of the fact the show is going to continue in podcast form. And for a huge amount of you, you're probably just going, oh, safe, it makes no difference to my life. But there are a few people which we really respect and really acknowledge that have listened to this show for a long time. And I, I've been thinking about this a lot recently. And I think over the next few weeks, there's going to be some reminiscing. So apologies for that. Even though the show's not stopping, it is going to be weird not being on radio.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I've been thinking a lot, and I was thinking about when we went to that girl's house, Livy. Was her name Livy?
Yeah.
For the Halloween thing. And
terrifying.
It was terrifying. Never made it onto YouTube, that Kev, by the way.
No, didn't.
Never.
I was supposed to be given some treated footage, and it never
Never happen, got that edit so. Together, did you?
No.
Never happened.
Not my fault.
But anyway, what treated footage?
Someone was going to like edit some of it, part of it for me, and then I was going to just finish it off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, who was supposed to do that?
Let's not talk about that now.
Office politics.
But anyway, think of the good times.
But I remember talking with her. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, we went for Halloween a few years back. We went to this listener's house called Livy. He was lovely. She invited us to her home because she said it was haunted.
I feel really awful now if her name isn't Livy.
I'm sure it's Livy.
I think it is.
Maybe her friend was called Livy.
Called Livy.
Oh, she was called Imogen.
Imogen. Imogen Brown.
Yeah, Imi. So, Imogen Brown. Sorry. Imogen, so sorry. But we came to your house. Thanks very much for that. And it was enormous and incredible and super haunted. And we wandered around and got absolutely scared. Remember the basement?
That was horrendous.
Awful.
Man, when we were in the basement, we were so far down underneath the ground. And there was no lights down there. And there was one candle that was still lit. And remember, I think Imogen's brother tried to blow it out. And I freaked out, because if that candle had gone out, it would have been the most extreme pitch blackness that I would have ever experienced in my life, because there was no light source down there at all. So I freaked out and basically ran out of the basement. But anyway, I digress. The point is, when we first went to Imogen's house, we sat down and we were talking about the show. And she told us that she's been a listener since she was 12 years old. And she was probably like, I don't know, 17? 17, 18?
She's young.
Yeah, 17, 18. And it dawned on me that there are people that listen to this show that have listened throughout their childhood and like grown up with it. And I have to say, like genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, that makes me feel so...
old.
Cheers, Renee. That makes me feel so like happy in my actual soul to know that people have grown up with this show, like listening on Sunday nights.
And that we've...
hanging out with us lot.
That we've always been there for people without wanting to be too cheesy. Like,
yeah.
We've been a sort of... I hasten to use the word constant, but you know we're something that's always been there for them, and yeah, that part does make me a bit sad if people have only ever listened on the radio.
But it doesn't really make me sad. It makes me happy. It makes me happy to think that, like, because what we've always, when we started out with this show, what we wanted to do is create like a family, right? And that every single person that listened to the show felt like they were part of it. So it wasn't just us being all like elitist and going, oh, I went to the celebrity party and it was fabulous, I'm best friends with Harry Styles, you know, like some radio stations do.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. It was kind of, we're all in this together, let's just have a chat and like tackle life's problems as they present themselves and have a laugh at ourselves and come up with some revolutions that are going to help people's lives and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like we've really achieved that to date, and hopefully we're going to continue to achieve that, just albeit on a slightly different platform.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it means a lot to me that you guys have listened, and some of you have listened forever. And I know also there's a small amount of people that aren't vocal, who would never write into a radio station, who'd never tweet a radio presenter, who'd never like send an email, nothing like that, who just sat silently and have listened. And you as well, you mean as much to me as everybody else. So thank you very much for all your ears.
And I have one more thing to...
all of your ears.
All of your ears, both of them. I have one more thing to add to that, apart from the times we forget to... put stereo mode on and we broadcast in mono. I think, do we broadcast in mono anyway?
Oh,
on
yeah.
On the radio?
Fairly sure.
Another reason to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
It's be better quality.
It's in stereo. Oh, yeah. Man, I'm going to go nuts with that left right balancing.
Pan Central.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing I think.
Sponsored by Panasonic.
It's not.
Which it was.
If it was an instrument, it'd be a pan pipe.
That pun was pants. Yeah, the only thing I
if I fancied a delicious Indian sweet, I'd perhaps eat some pan.
What?
Pan, it's like a thing.
Oh.
That is about P-A-A-N.
Right. Paneer.
Yeah.
No, because it's pan. Pan.
Paneer.
Yeah, but paneer. Yeah, paneer, that kind of works.
Paneer. Anyway, what were you saying?
I've got no idea. Oh, yeah, that was it. So the only thing I wanted to point out is...
What's my favourite movie? Oh, Peter Pan.
Awesome things that don't exist, but should exist, as it would be awesome if they did.
A bit of bad boy. Awesome things that don't exist, but should exist, could be awesome if they did. Simple invention feature. You guys hit us up on Twitter. What were we going to say when we're not on Kerrang and it's just a podcast?
Throw up that hashtag, yo.
We're going to just use our own handles.
Yeah,
we can do that and throw up the hashtag as well.
Throw up the hashy to the tag zag.
Keep the hashtag the Alex Baker Show going.
Oh, really?
Naturally.
Oh,
yeah.
Something natch. Totes. right, okay, so it's time for awesome things that exist. La, 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 la. A guy called Paul Mahoney. What? Paul Mahoney? He got in contact a couple of weeks ago. Said, here is some awesome things that don't exist. It should exist as awesome if they did. He rolled it all into one, like, huge long word. It looks a bit like that Welsh town, you know, with a super long name. A spoon, which doesn't wobble when you have shaky hands. So that at first you kind of go, well, that's ridiculous. But actually, you probably could invent some sort of spoon that has technology within it that counteracts the shake of your hand.
Yeah, this exists.
They exist.
Yeah,
people with Parkinson's.
Yeah, they have special spoons.
Do they really?
And forks and,
stuff. And bowls.
I don't know how it works, but there's some kind of like weighting mechanism in it or something that
is so cool.
Yeah,
so,
it's a real thing.
So that already exists. Real talk. So shame on your name, Paul Mahoney. He also says
shame on your name. It's a bit extreme.
Shame on your name. He used to say that at school.
Yeah, shame on your name.
Shame on your name.
I was in a
Who says
pet,
that?
I was in one of those pet superstores a few weeks back.
What, Pets at Home?
Well, or something like that.
There are other ones available.
Yeah,
none that I can think of.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Vets for Pets.
I was in one of those. No, that's a vet.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Vets.
Also the same company.
Also the vet that we use, think about it.
There are other vets available.
Yeah, obviously. But no, we were in one of those shops, and I was there to pick up some bearded dragon food, I think.
Your life is so ridiculous.
And but there was a woman in there, and she was queuing up to pay for stuff, but she had her dog with her, as people often do in pet shops. There's always dogs in there on leads.
Can't move your dogs.
And this woman's in the queue.
Where my dog's at?
There's a woman in the queue with the dog. And as I walked in, I was hit with the smell straight away.
Yeah.
And this dog had defecated on the floor.
Oh.
In the queue at Pets at Home, which in itself was embarrassing enough and a little bit funny. But the owner, the dog's owner, was not only adding to the sort of embarrassment and making it more obvious what had happened, but also being hilarious by actually shouting at the dog, "Shame on your name! Shame on your name!" And it had like a really, it was like called Dixie or something. It was like, "Shame on your name, Dixie! Look what you've done!"
She was saying, "Shame on your name!"
Done. Yeah.
"Shame on your name!"
To the dog, which
like
was
full on.
I lost it.
A full on playground insult.
That's what you did at school, wasn't it?
Oh, shame on your name.
Which is just so stupid. It's such a stupid insult.
But you actually think about shame on your name as an insult, that probably like dates way back to when like surnames were really like integral to society. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
A family name.
Someone saying shame on your name would probably have been like the worst possible insult.
Yeah.
Like biting your tongue. You know when you bite your tongue?
I just bite my thumb.
You bite your thumb,
You bite your thumb, sir? Yeah.
I do, but keep the peace. Bit of Shakespeare for you there. Who says we weren't educated?
That's going to be on the, more of that on the podcast.
Yeah, four. a highlighter that fades away after some time so another person can use the same book to study. That's a good idea.
Good idea.
I like it.
Good work, Paul Mahoney.
Although if you borrow a book for studying that someone else has already used and highlighted, those highlights are actually quite useful.
Does the job for you.
I already know the bits I need to know there. So
I bought for Christmas, Mel wanted like a whole collection of Discworld novels by Terry Pratchett. She loves Terry Pratchett. And there's a particular type of softback that she wanted, paperback that she wanted to collect because it's got particular artwork, and she had a few of them, but they came out in the 90s, so you can't go into a shop and buy them because the new ones have got different artwork, if that makes sense, not in the same style. So I went on different edition, exactly. So I went on eBay and like tracked down 20 of these different novels to try and help her complete the collection, and it's been quite a nice experience. As they come in, they've all like got different smells they've picked up off people's bookcases over the years. Like one of them was really tobacco-y and I thought Mel would hate it, but she was actually like, "Oh, this smells really like, not nice, but like interesting." Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I love that about
That's
books.
Cute. That's a really good gift.
Yeah, well, thanks. I'm pretty good with gifting. What else did you say? And an undo button on a lift.
That is a good idea. Why does that not exist?
He also put in brackets, "mind blown," like he blew his own mind.
Yes, what was his name?
He was called Paul Mahoney. What
extreme
are you doing, Paul Mahoney?
Extreme high five, Paul Mahoney. That's extreme high five. How do we do that?
Like this.
Extreme to the maximum.
That was intense.
Whoa. My hand is sore.
Oh, I don't even have a hand.
Yeah, me neither.
Hands are over.
Just a stump.
Yeah, hands are over. Just a Patrick.
Yeah.
Right, so there we go. I was going to do Kev's Movie Minute, but I really don't want to.
Do you want my awesome thing?
Oh, yeah, we haven't done our awesome thing.
Yeah, so
that was Paul Mahoney's. The undo button and a lift, great idea.
I had an idea, and I know that you're not necessarily down with microchipping.
The trumpets.
I know that's a dark...
Stop.
Hello, 2012.
Do you know what?
I
don't want to drop a name here, but I'm going to. I did recorded a TV show recently with Brendan Urie, Panic at the Disco. Spent the whole day with him just hanging out. And one of the shots that we wanted to get for the TV show was him walking to stage for the sound check. So, well, also for the actual gig, but also for sound check. So as we were walking through the corridors, we're at the Brixton Academy in London, and I was like... We're walking along, and I was like, I don't know if this is going to make the cut. So if it makes the cut, but you can't see who it is on the wall, you're hearing this here exclusively.
Okay.
If it doesn't make the cut, then I'll just tell the story anyway. But as we walk out into the corridor from his dressing room, I'm like, "So Brendan, what's it like playing at the Brixton Academy?" He's like, "Oh man, I'm so stoked. We played here once years ago, and it was an incredible crowd." And I was like, you know, just looking at these pictures on the walls, because they've got all pictures of different artists that are playing. Yeah. I was like, you know, the walls are just steeped with history. You know, if you look down here, and my hand rested on a picture of the Rizzle Kicks. And I literally went, "Oh no, not them."
I hope that makes the cut.
So do I. So, you know, these walls are steep with it. Oh no, not them.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like they're letting it all scum in.
Yeah. Any old but anyway, so what were we talking about? Arnie, you were telling me an awesome thing before I interrupt you with my huge name drop.
Yeah, I was about to talk about microchipping, so I don't know how we got onto the Rizzle Kicks. Oh, yeah, down with the trumpet.
Down with the trumpets, yeah.
So I know you feel a bit weirdly about microchipping and
hate
microchipping agenda.
Terrified of it.
But what if there was a...
Let's do a whole podcast on the microchipping agenda at some point.
Done. What if there was a simple, safe, one-use application for microchipping that the government had no control over?
Well, explain why you'd need that.
So, this is an idea to help with organisation. So, here's how it works.
I'm interested.
When you're planning out your day at work or whatever, or at college, or maybe you're revising or doing homework or whatever, you have like a calendar.
Or you're like a solicitor, you know, and you're one of our more highbrow audience members.
Yeah. They've got loads
or
of solicitors.
Or you just have, you know, you're like a working mum. I was thinking about home mum and you need to organise stuff.
Yeah.
So you're at home just doing nothing.
I mean, you guys.
Stay at home dad.
Yeah.
Instead of just stay at home parent.
I mean, you guys are throwing a lot of examples in without knowing what the idea
is.
Well,
people need to be organised, Kev.
They do, yes. Okay. So when you're trying to get organised in whatever field it is. And say
so you're in a
like,
field. What are you doing in a field?
No,
organizing
like,
the crops.
Field of
crops.
Oh,
right. Yeah. So if you're organising some crops in a field.
Yes. Okay.
Fine. Yeah.
You might have a calendar like in Outlook or whatever.
Or just hanging off a crop.
No, like a digital calendar.
Is it like, one with like, I don't know, Lucy Vixen on it or something?
No, it has to be
Mel Clark there, just hanging off.
It has to be a digital calendar. It can't be a physical one.
Oh, okay.
So like on your phone, you know, your calendar on your phone.
Well, I'm a farmer. I don't take my phone out into the fields.
No, they do.
It doesn't matter because you set this up in advance.
Okay, fine.
So the night before. Yes, the phone is the best application for this, really. So your calendar on your phone, you'll plot out on your day what things you need to do, when you're going to do them.
Tend to the crops.
And how long each one should take.
Harvest the crops.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the idea. When you've got a big day on or whatever.
Collect the crops.
Collect them together.
Yes.
Fertilize.
Take them to market.
Things.
Put them in the basket.
So you allocate a length of time to each of those things and a kind of start time, you know, in order to get everything done in the day.
Yeah.
What the microchip then does is it knows when you're working on one of these things, if you're still working on it beyond its allocated time, it gives you a little buzz.
Okay.
A little buzz. Just stop it. You've got to move on. You've got to do the next thing and get you motivated, or it'll do it when you're coming towards the end of your task. You've got half an hour
left. But your phone does that.
Yeah, but you ignore your phone easily and you can turn it on silent or just like, oh, it's not that. If it's within you, causing you pain.
That's horrendous, Kev.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, that's the point.
So what? That's an awful invention. Clearly it's come from a name first and you've worked backwards.
No, I haven't even got a name for it.
Haven't got a name?
No.
Oh, wow.
Do you want one?
So you just thought that was a good idea?
Do you want a name?
Yeah, go on.
Right, let me think. Renee, have you got an idea, Renee? What?
No.
All right.
She'll sit there happily rip your idea apart. Got nothing to offer herself. I mean, neither have I.
Yeah, well, there we go. Fine. So, oh, God.
I should have passed off one of Paul Mahoney's as my own.
No, do you know what? I wanted the Ferrero Rocher advent calendar, but I was actually given a giant Ferrero Rocher for Christmas. And I was like, well, I guess this will do. And I opened it and it was frigging glorious. So,
was it like
that's
one
all
massive?
I ever wanted.
Was it one massive Ferrero Rocher? Was it like an outside of a Ferrero Rocher, like a husk?
Yeah, it was like a shell. So I thought, like, imagine an Easter egg shell with two Ferrero Rocher inside. But when I peeled back the foil, the shell was actually the Ferrero Rocher crunchy bits.
Oh,
if
sick.
If that makes sense?
Yeah.
So it didn't have the Nutella in the middle, but it still had
it had the crunch.
And it was huge, and I ate it all in like 15 seconds.
Oh, so I've got a name. Buzz Microchip. The strap line, which will make it make more sense, is to productivity and beyond.
Oh.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. 2010. The year 83, the place Finchley. A child was born to make some history. So he packed up his bags, went up to M3. Spent 4 long years reading philosophy. Then played in some bands and came across me. Worked long and hard for not much of a fee. Started off as more making cups of tea. Cleaning up the mess when things got dirty. Alex Baker, your favourite DJ. Instead of being poor, playing all the tunes that fill up the dance floor. Don't let him in and he break down the door and they crush it up thin like a dinosaur. Alex Baker, your favourite DJ. On the radio every single day. And if you like this show, please make sure you stay.
Alex Baker, your favorite DJ.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Going out to all the people that saw them at Brixton Academy last week. Panic at the Disco, Emperor's New Clothes, off the new album Death of a Bachelor. My best mate, best buds, sort of.
Excuse me for interrupting, boys and girls, but maybe you would like to find out just what it would be like if there were no rules.
But how could we do that?
By going someplace where there are no rules.
Now, where could that be?
The Alex Baker Show.
Kerrang Radio.
Let's all think real hard and pretend we're in a faraway place.
Where anything goes and nothing is off limits.
Now, come on.
Let's go to the world of
the coolest
broadcast transmission
this world
has ever known.
Everyone knows his name.
He's as crazy as a kook.
People all over the world are losing their damn minds.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Are you ready to rock?
He knows he must be stopped before he fulfills his terrifying mission.
I don't think there are any words to describe
how very inappropriate
his radio
shows really are.
He's never going to admit it.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Remember, don't try this at home.
He is seriously twisted.
He's the man with the records.
Anything goes and nothing is off limits.
If you can't handle it, turn the channel.
Listen to this man.
He bit Dakota Fanning on the face.
He just wants to play.
The person I'm about to introduce needs no introduction.
Really did buy her.
So please give a warm, hormonal shriek
on her actual
for the
face.
Sizzling hot.
Alex Baker. Bad boy. How's it going? It's the Alex Baker Show. Sunday night or Wednesday night if you're listening after Fresh Blood, the greatest show on radio. Sorry. Right, what we're going to talk about next? Well, I've got a few things coming up. I'm going to do Peep of the Week in a bit. I'm going to do some blagging it as well. And another fantastic, devilishly handsome round of pronouncing things like an American. Before anything else, though, I want to talk about the fact that in Leeds, something real has gone down. Something kind of unprecedented. Something kind of... I haven't made my mind up whether it's a good or a bad thing. In Leeds, there now exists a brand new red light district.
What?
Yeah, Leeds have opened a red light district where prostitutes can legally prostituteize themselves, prostitute themselves.
Yeah, prostitute is a verb as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So this has been done actually by the council, hasn't it? This is a legitimate thing.
Pure legit, yeah. It's not like just an area that's become a red light district. Mm. They've designated an area as a red light district where people can solicit for sex, work. I don't know whether it's legally.
Yeah, legally. That's the whole idea behind it, is that there is one.
So in that part of Leeds,
area.
It's legal to pay for sex.
Yeah.
So that...
No, isn't
really?
Isn't it legal to pay for sex, but it's illegal to advertise
charge for
it.
Sex?
No, to advertise it. Yeah, I think
so
that's right.
You can pay someone to have sex with you.
That's fine, no drums.
Yeah, but if they're like, they're going, do you want to have sex with me? You got to pay me. Like,
I
that's
think,
illegal.
I think that's the point then, is that because
they've
it's a
decriminalised
red light,
that in that
no,
area.
No, I don't know if it's even that. I think because there's a red light district... You know that you go there for those services,
so they don't
rather
have
than
to advertise.
Having to be advertised to, or rather than having to be waved down on a street corner.
Got you, yeah.
Because it's that is what it's for. You go there for that.
I remember years ago we were it was just me. I was driving back from when we used to be based in Birmingham. I was driving back from the Birmingham office through Ladywood, which is kind of like an area in between Harborne, where I used to live in Birmingham, in the city centre. And Birmingham people will know where Ladywood is. And it's notorious for having a lot of sex workers in that area, sort of walking around, like asking people if they want to have sex. And that makes it sound fabulous. And I was driving along, and I saw this car in front of me pull up next to this woman, right? And clearly he'd pulled up, he'd wound the window down. She leaned in and started talking to him. This all happened within about 20 seconds, right? So driving along, guy pulled over, stopped, Like, I was still quite far away from him, so I wasn't getting 30 miles per hour. It's going to take me a while to catch up with him because it's so far in the distance. But pulled over, girl stopped, started talking. And within like a few seconds of that happening, a police car went round me and straight away blipped his lights, busted him straight away. It literally happened within like the smallest time frame. And I have to say, I felt really sorry for the guy that got busted. Because, like, I know you're not allowed to do it, but it was just... He couldn't have got busted more quickly.
Yeah,
it's like he pulled over, straight away arrested.
Wasn't like he was being sloppy and like not careful or
felt really bad for him. But anyway, so in Leeds, in this particular area, it's now, you know, I guess not illegal. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? I can't decide.
I'm quite behind this because the part of the reasoning behind it is
you just for, love to pay for sex.
No, it's not that. It's safety and security, right? Is the idea behind this?
Of course.
Mainly for the sex workers, but I guess also for the clientele as well.
Makes them sound so posh.
Yeah, that's what they are.
Customers.
Yeah, customers. Yeah,
paying customers.
Not quite so posh.
Punters.
Yeah,
bottom of the pile.
We lost it, scum. Sex paying scum. No, I think it's good because it means that everything can be sort of monitored and, you know, kept an eye on and there's accountability for stuff. And if something goes wrong, it's going to be a lot easier to find out what happened, who did it, and, you know, bring criminal charges where necessary.
True, but it is a step in a very particular direction. And I suppose the question is that the right direction to be going, or should it be the case that they're actually toughening up and making it even harder for sex workers to operate?
No, because I think when the toughening up approach, that's probably what they've been trying and it's not worked. Because when you do that with something like this, all you do is you force it underground. And it makes it even more dangerous.
Yeah, and even, run by gangs and everything
else.
It's
even more secretive. It's even more off the grid, off the radar. So when something does go wrong, it's an even bigger problem.
Hmm.
I think by sort of highlighting it and putting it on a sort of safe pedestal, everyone, hopefully, is going to sort of behave themselves.
Is it wrong to say as well? I've got to be careful with what I'm saying when I'm on the radio.
This is
going
to be glorious.
Is it?
You're worried about it's going
to
be so good.
I don't know if it is. Let's not pick it up too much. Is it wrong to say as well that it kind of makes... I'm doing like an action that people can't see. I'm sort of like a little jerky dance.
Right.
It kind of makes it a bit sort of more like fun, like an event.
Oh, so, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can imagine like stag parties and stuff going to the red light district in Leeds, like they do Amsterdam or whatever. You know, my parents went to Amsterdam and they walked around the red light district and they said it was actually, you know, very seedy and they weren't like happy to be there, but they said it was very interesting.
It's a tourist attraction, isn't
it? Yeah,
really,
I mean, yeah.
As much as anything else. I kind of see where you're coming from and I think by making it like that...
It makes it more lighthearted.
Exactly. It's bringing it above ground again, like I was saying, and it becomes less of a kind of... dangerous,
horrible, seedy criminal underworld,
thing,
and more kind of like, hey, let's have some sex.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like people are going to do it anyway. This is like the oldest running profession.
It is literally the oldest profession,
oldest profession in the history of the world. So why is it stigmatized? I literally agree with everything that Kev's just said, and it just stops people doing the whole human trafficking thing because you just can't, because they know they're going to be monitored. They can have specific sets of security in that area.
Yeah,
to be it's all good.
It's all good.
I think
it's all good that women are selling their bodies
and men
for money. That's all good as far as you're concerned.
I don't see a problem if people want to sell their bodies for money.
Okay, just wanted to clarify. And men as well.
Yeah, people, if you want to sell your body for money, then what's the problem?
Don't you think it's really unfair that the female word for a lady who sells her body is prostitute, which has like a lot of really negative connotations, but the name for a guy that does it is gigolo.
I thought a gigolo was a different thing. No, because you are a man can be a prostitute as well.
Oh, so what's a gigolo?
I think a gigolo is something else. I think it's more of a, I don't know whether it's like a classier thing or...
Like an escort.
Or it's just another slang term for...
Gigolo.
For a male prostitute. But yeah, you get male
funny
prostitutes
word.
In the same way as you get female prostitutes.
I'd like to see a price listing.
Like a menu.
I don't want to know if it varied, like depending on who's offering it.
I imagine it does, yeah.
It probably does.
Yeah, I imagine pricing does change.
Just in the same way that... I'm not going to finish that sentence.
Supermarkets might have like a
value range.
Yeah. Is that what you were thinking?
No, because some of that stuff, like I know it sounds really bad, but I do think about this quite often because I live in like Allgate, like Whitechapel area, history is known for prostitutes. And me and my housemates always have this discussion about like how much would you charge? And mine's always so high because I'm just so lazy. I'm just like, that's a lot.
How much would you charge?
Like a lot.
How much are we talking?
Well, let's just say it was just sort of like a hand situation.
Yeah.
That'd be at least 80. That's
not expensive.
Do you not think?
As in 80.
Yeah.
80 quid.
Just £80.
Yeah.
80 quid for a hand.
That's probably cheaper than actual prostitutes. Yeah.
I don't think so. It's so quick. That's like, oh, 80 4 quid. Minutes.
I thought you were going to say like, oh, 800 grand.
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
It's like... Like,
you're
not, it's not even,
so you're not
even getting to 5 minutes, are you?
Well, it depends who it is and how good you are. But I think, I'm sure. I'm not an expert here, but I am sure that is a realistic price for an actual prostitute to charge for,
yeah,
for that service.
Do you know what? I'm going to stop talking.
USA!
Pronouncing things.
Oh, say, can you say?
Like an American.
Yo, come back now, you hear?
This week on Pronouncing Things Like an American.
Doncaster. What's up, players? It's Kerrang Radio. My name's Alex Baker. Kevin Hingley's in the studio with me as well. 80 quid's also here.
Oh, for God's sake.
That was Linkin Park in the end. That was a revelation. We've got Peep of the Week come up in a second if you've got time. Before that, though, I think we should do a round of blagging it. What do you reckon? 80? 50?
Alex Baker Show. Blagging it. Alex Baker Show. Blagging it. Alex Baker Show. Blagging it. Alex. Alex Baker Show. Alex Baker Show.
Oh, Jesus.
Blagging it, Alex Baker Show.
Oh, smashed it. Type of blagging it. You should see Renee's look that she's giving me. Pure hate, pure hate. So, blagging it works like this. Lying sucks, right? When people lie, it's annoying. Everyone knows that. When people lie and it's obvious that they're lying, it's even worse. In fact, it grinds my gears, as Peter Griffin would say. The reason is because I find it like to be an attack on my intelligence. Because if you're lying to me, and I know you're lying, and it's obvious that you're lying, because you're not even really trying that hard with a lie, that makes me think that you think that I'm stupid. And that annoys me. So I invented blagging it as a way to sort of practice lying so that everyone would be better at lying and then I'd come across that issue less in my own personal life. It's basically a feature just to make me happier. You're right, Renee.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I was just trying to think of what I'm going to say because I always get this wrong.
But you don't even know what your topic is yet.
No, I know.
What were you thinking?
She's got a set script, whatever the topic is. She's going to go with it.
In my mind, I'm like, okay, no dates. Don't be too specific.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay, so that's how it works. We have to talk for a minute on a topic that's revealed from an envelope. Did I say envelope right? Envelope.
You said it the posh way, but it's fine.
But envelope's the way you like me to say it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, and then we have to talk for a minute convincingly on that topic. And the other people in the studio and you guys at home have to decide whether we're blagging it, i.e. we actually don't know what we're talking about, but we just convinced each other that we were clued up on that particular topic, or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So first up is Renee. Renee, let me just open this envelope. It's a big one. The life and career of Willem Dafoe. Are you ready for this? 60 seconds on the clock, sorry. Here we go.
Willem Dafoe. Ah, yes. 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 So, he was very old from a long time ago, this guy. He was an incredible, I'd like to say British person. Is he a poet? Because, no.
Not even a little bit.
he's not the old Spurs player, no. Okay, right. So, yeah, he's a real, really important political figure. and you should really just Google him because there's just too much for me to talk about right now to fit into this short space of time. And I don't want to do him any sort of misjustice. So...
Miss
the
Chester.
Best thing for you to do would be to Google.
Oh, I have time. Oh dear. Renee there. Clearly never heard of the world famous actor Willem Dafoe, who's still famous now and actually on TV right now in the BT adverts. Willem Dafoe, he's like a massive actor. He's like Kevin Bacon, but a bit different.
What's he been in? I'm
an IMDb. He was in Spider-Man. He played the Green Goblin.
Oh, him! Yeah.
That's the guy.
I thought you meant the poet.
Well, I reckon you were blagging it. Yeah, what?
No, the poet, Dafoe, is a poet.
Mm. And then you were thinking of the footballer. What's his name? Graham Dafoe?
No, Graham Dafoe. That's not his name.
Graham Dafoe. Right, Kev, you're up next. Hold on a sec. That sounded like a realistic envelope. Kev, yours is the gin distillation process. 60 seconds on the clock. Let's do this.
Okay, yeah. So...
Oh, go on, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were stopping me.
No, no.
That's fine. I'm going to slow things down a bit, which is what I like to do when I enjoy myself a little gin and tonic. One of my favourite drinks. But have you ever stopped to think about how that gin and tonic comes to be in your glass, in your mouth, going down into your belly? I bet you haven't. Let me take you on a journey. It all begins in a distillation factory, sometimes known as a distillery. And what's different about the distillation of gin compared to other spirits, such as vodka or whiskey or rum, is that gin is actually distilled with florals. It's actually distilled with leaves, and that's where it sort of comes from. It generally comes from juniper, and it's distilled with the leaves all as part of the mixture, and then later filtered out so you get a smooth liquid. And the strength of the gin depends on how long the distillation process occurs for, which is why widely commercially available gin might come in at 40% or 30%, but you can get a higher one because they've spent more time on it, because that's more costly.
You can't stop the thing. Oh, you didn't. Can't even got headphones on, so you couldn't hear that it stopped.
No, I could through yours, right. But I wanted to just finish my point.
Because you were so clued up on the distillation process of gin.
It's a full explanation, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, yes, it was warranted. I think that you were blagging it. Because although there was some truth in that, I don't think you properly knew what you were talking about. But I think you did a good job of plugging it.
What do you think, Renee?
Yeah.
You think, yeah.
That's helpful. Helpful.
You think what Alex said. You sounded like you knew stuff.
It's like she's given up.
Yeah, I think it
she's thinking about the next phase of her career. That's what you all are.
I was blagging it, but yeah.
There's some truth. Like the juniper stuff.
I think that's a thing.
Yeah, did you know actually the botanicals, which is included...
That's the word I was thinking. Botanicals. Think of.
You went with leaves. Botanicals would have been better. in most gins, the botanicals are actually boiled in the solution,
That's what I was trying to say, yeah.
But the one, I think it's the only gin where the botanicals aren't actually boiled in the solution, is Bombay Sapphire. With Bombay Sapphire, they sit in a basket above Sapphire. They sit in a basket above the distillation process, and as it distills and as the vapour rises, it takes on the essence of the botanicals as it flows through the basket. They're not actually boiled within the actual tun. They're called tuns, I think, they're modern. Anyway, so I just thought I'd educate you there, because you clearly didn't have a clue what was going on. My one, Kev, what's my one?
Your topic, Alex... is so look dressage.
Okay, let's do this. So dressage isn't actually anything to do with dressing humans. It's to do with dressing horses. And why it's important to dress horses is for dressage competitions. Oh, that sounds like a circular argument. Let me explain. Dressage competitions are where you get your horse to do unspeakable things, like ballet and pirouettes and like just general breakdancing and things of that ilk. I once saw a dressage competition where a man jumped on a horse and the horse basically did the moonwalk whilst also kind of jigging to a kind of Spanish theme. So, although actually technically it does originate from France, it was a particularly weird edition of dressage, if you look at it down that way. But anyway, dressage, the name comes from the practice, quite literally, of dressing your horse, because, horses are great, but you want them to look better by putting various accoutrements on them, like sashes and, maybe a little bit of tinsel around its tail if it's a festive season. So, so pretty much dressage. There we go. What do you reckon?
I love incredible. The idea of you get the horse to do unspeakable things.
They do.
Like to commit all your crimes for you or something.
Rob that safe, Percy.
Yeah, total blag. Hilarious, but total blag.
Yeah, I don't know anything about dressage. No. Was that obvious?
Yeah, it's nothing to do with the way it's dressed. It's jumping, isn't it, and running around in circles.
No, but it's always dressed nice. It always has little bows on
it. Always dressed nice,
There's always something, but I don't...
It must have something to do with dressing. It's not called walking around Arj.
Jumping Arj.
Yeah.
Well, who won that?
I think I won.
Who definitely didn't win?
Yeah.
Kev won.
Yes.
Well,
for someone that doesn't know anything about the distillation process of gin, I think you did quite well.
Thank you.
I just imagine this whole this boiling pot of leaves, and out of that, gin comes.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Sorted.
We're actually fresh out of time. Do not forget to download the podcast.
Download the podcast!
Rate and review the podcast.
Rate and review the podcast.
And of course, subscribe to the podcast as well.
Subscribe to the podcast.
And we shall see you back here next week for more of this. And then after that will be the final show airing on Kerrang Radio. And then we'll just be in podcast land forevermore, in your pocket, like Polly in your pocket, but not Polly, and three people instead of one. So in a way, that's better than Polly in the Pocket, and that was a massive success.
We'd actually be Polly in the Pocket, because there's more than one of us.
Oh, like Polly?
Yeah.
What? Oh, like P-O-L-Y.
Yeah.
Oh my God, meta.
Yeah.
Is that meta?
Kind of.
Okay, cool. Got it.
Huh? Yeah, I guess he's like...